What I want to teach on a little bit this morning is freedom from bondage. Freedom from bondage. It's interesting that had some songs that alluded to that, and that's always cool. I love the song by Crowder, the forgiveness song, and it mentions in there about freedom through forgiveness, and that's really true. We'll probably talk a little bit about that. And so we're going to talk just a little bit about freedom from bondage. You know, when you think about bondage, there's a lot of things that includes, and different things that come to mind. Some of them very practical in nature, like freedom from drugs, and that's very real. Amen. That certainly is an epidemic throughout the world. Certainly in our country. I know in some of the smaller towns. We're from a small town, and you certainly see the effect of drug abuse and the bondage that it brings upon people. Amen. And so there's things like that you think of that are very tangible. But there's more than that as well. You think of freedom from fear. You think of freedom from sin. Amen. All of those things are very real. Amen. It doesn't matter whether it's something like drug abuse or other type of habits. There's all kinds of habits, some legal and illegal, that can bring bondage to us. Amen. But what I want to say at the get-go is that, you know, it's not God's will for anyone to be in bondage to anything. Amen. In Galatians 5:1, it says that it was for freedom that Christ made us free. Amen. That's the reason He made you free, was to walk in freedom. Amen. I love the way the King James says it. The King James sometimes is so poetic in nature, the old Elizabethan English. And sometimes it says it in such a way that's so full of meaning. But the King James says it, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage." Amen. Isn't that cool? Well, see, that's God's desire for us. Amen. And freedom only comes from God. It doesn't come from anywhere else. Amen. I know here in America we talk a lot about freedom, and certainly it is something that is at the core of our nation is freedom, because it came from God. You know, our nation is the only nation ever that chose God. You know, God chose Israel, but America chose God. And so freedom was at the core of it. Amen. And so it means something to us. But freedom comes from God. And it is realized the moment that you get saved, freedom comes in. Amen. Salvation brings freedom, just like the song we sang about. There's freedom through forgiveness. Amen. And whenever you got saved, I mean, the moment you got saved, there were chains that were upon you because of sin, because of not having received forgiveness yet. And I mean, the moment that you got saved, those chains fell off. Amen. Now, there's other kinds of freedom that you have to grow in the Lord and grow in the Word to overcome. And sometimes it's not just an instant thing. But there was instantaneous freedom from the forgiveness of sin and those bondages. And that's a very real bondage. Amen. Do you know that the weight of sin upon a person's life is a huge weight, and it's not meant for you to have to bear? You can't bear it. Amen. It will tear a person down, and it'll send them to hell. Amen. But the moment you get saved, it was just lifted off of you because you received forgiveness of sin. Isn't that cool? I can give you a story about that. I've got a friend that told me his testimony one time, real interesting testimony. And this guy was in college on a soccer scholarship, but he was a very violent person, and he had all kinds of issues. And he would tell you if you heard him give his testimony, that he was not a good person, had violent thoughts all the time, just mean. He just needed God. And he was searching. And at one point in time, he was in college, and he said, "You know, I'm just going to end it. I have no purpose." You know, purpose comes from God. Amen. He had no reason for living, no purpose in life. And so he thought, you know, "I'm just going to end it all," like so many people have done, and so many people. You know, even right now, there are millions of people out there that are contemplating suicide because they don't realize they have a way out because of the chains that are pulling them down to hell. Amen. And it's a very real thing. It literally is a weight upon a person's life to walk around and not be forgiven. And he was feeling that very much, and so he thought, I'm just going to end it. And so he was gathering all his stuff up in his room, had a lot of things that he was packing away, and he had went through a box that he'd never unpacked when he got to college, and he pulled out an old Bible that was in there, and he just started looking through it. And he had the gun right there. He was getting ready to blow his brains out. And he was going through the Bible. Of course, a lot of it seemed foreign to him, but he came to the place in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And he thought, you know, that sounds reasonable. If I'll just seek God, everything else will take care of itself. That's kind of the way he took it, you know. So he thought, that's what I'm going to do. And he was reminded about a kid that he had always seen in one of his college classes. And he was just a little quiet kid, a little geek. And this guy's a pretty big, buff guy. But there was this kid that never talked, but he many times would wear a T-shirt that had something about God, something about salvation. And this guy noticed that. I mean, you can't ever doubt even the little things that you do that have a testimony. I mean, the power of the gospel is strong. And so it doesn't matter. It may be something that's very subtle, but if you'll just live it, God will find a way to get the point across. Amen? Because that's the power of the gospel. And so just through this kid wearing this T-shirt, it caught this guy's attention. So anyway, he thinks, man, how can I get a hold of this guy? So he finds out that this kid's not even on campus that day. So he digs around and he finds this guy's home phone number somehow. He finds out the guy's name and gets in the phone book, finds his phone number, and he calls this guy at home. And so he calls this guy and gets a hold of this kid. And he tells him who he is. You know, he's talking. He says, hey, are you going to... You going to be at school tomorrow? And he said, yeah. And he said, well, he said, I just want to talk to you. And the kid's like, okay. You know, this kid's getting a little bit scared here, you know. He says, let me just ask, is there some reason that you want me? What do you want to talk about? And my friend says, I want to get saved. And the kid kind of chuckles a little bit. And my friend says, well, what are you laughing about? And he says, well, it's just usually not that easy, you know. And so they set it up to meet, and they meet there on the campus the next day. And they're meeting there, and this kid leads him to the Lord. And he says that he reached over. They were sitting down there, and this kid puts his hand on my friend's knee, and he leads him to the Lord. And my friend says that when I asked Jesus into my heart, literally I heard chains fall off of it. He said, I heard him. He said, I looked around the room because he said, I thought someone's rattling chains. And he said, I heard chains just fall off of me. And he said, then I just felt freedom like I'd never known. Amen. Well, see, that was instant in his life. It was forgiveness of sin. Amen. Breaking those chains that was pulling him down and changed his life forever. Now this guy goes literally all over the world preaching the gospel. Amen. Dax and I this guy's name's Dax. Chad and I have went with him on some trips. I went a couple trips with him. But the kid's powerful man of God. Amen. Well, I just shared that just to illustrate the power of just getting saved, the power of freedom that comes from Jesus. Amen. And it's very powerful. I want to talk just a little bit also about what it takes to walk in freedom. Amen. We've said that it only comes from God, and it does. I'm telling you what. There's something about walking with God that you just receive freedom. Amen. And the more you grow in God, the more you grow in the Word, the more you are able to exercise authority over bondages and the things that constantly want to come and put you in chains. The devil is a master at putting chains on people. He's a master at bondage. That's what he does. Amen. Everything that has to do with the curse, you hear the curse talked about, which is sin. The curse came upon the world through Adam when he sinned, and it's still out there. When you accept Jesus, you are free from the curse, but you have to overcome it through faith. You have to overcome it through walking in spiritual authority and spiritual maturity. Amen. And everything that's over in the curse, imagine there's just some spot here being the curse. Sin, sickness, bondage, everything that's bad is in the curse. And that's what the devil is in charge of. Amen. And he uses all of that to put bondage upon God's people and anyone out there. Amen. But God, he is always trying to bring freedom. And he's always about freedom. Everything about God is freedom. Amen. But everything about the enemy is bondage. So he's always trying to put bondage on you. But there is a way to grow spiritually so that you can exercise authority over all the things that are constantly trying to pull you down and defeat. Amen. And it'll always be there. As long as you live on this earth, you'll have to deal with the curse. You'll have to deal with sin that is out there. You'll have to deal with all the things that want to bring you into bondage. Amen. Some things gets on you because of a decision you made. Sometimes we get into sin sometimes. There's bondage that goes along with that. Amen. That's why we're supposed to stay out of that. I mean, you step over into that and you're in that territory there, and then there's chains that can be put on you. I had the guys look up a scripture on the way up here. In 2 Peter, it says that what a man is overcome by, he is also brought into bondage by. Amen. So whenever you step into something that's into the curse, it can overcome you if you're not careful. Amen. And it's actively trying to do that. Remember, I'm not teaching on sin, but a good study on sin. When you look at Cain and Abel, real interesting conversation that takes place between God and Cain. And Cain, you know, he's upset because Abel is doing good. And Cain could do the same thing. A lot of people think that it was Cain was giving a wrong sacrifice. It wasn't that. It was just that he wasn't giving his best. He was supposed to give of the first fruits. When you read that, it says that by and by, Cain gave some of the fruits of his offering. It wasn't that Abel's was better necessarily. It was just he was giving his best. Amen. Well, Cain could have done the same thing, but he didn't want to. It's hard. You know, even now, it's hard sometimes to let go of that offering, isn't it? You're like, well, that's the way it was with Cain, because he didn't think God would bless him. And so it was hard for him to give to God. But he saw Abel doing good, and it brought up jealousy. Amen. And that it's interesting conversation that God had with Cain. He said, you know, if you will do right, you'll be uplifted. You know, that's a good principle. Do you know that if you'll do right, good things happen? Blessing comes from doing good. Amen. And he said, if you'll do right, you'll be uplifted. But if you do bad, he said, sin is crouching at the door. And he said, its desire is to have you. It's like sin had a personality in and of itself. Isn't that interesting? And it said, its desire is for you. Well, it does have a personality. It takes on the personality of the father of sin. Who is that? It's the devil. Yeah. And so it takes on that personality. And so that's why you don't want to get over there around it, because it has a desire. It wants to get on you, and it's trying to pull you into defeat. Sin does not want you to be blessed, because the devil doesn't want you to be blessed. And so it's trying to pull you over in here so that you can be in defeat and be in that bondage. Amen? And so it's a very, very interesting study there. We're not teaching on that, but it's interesting to understand that you're supposed to stay as far away as you can from that. You're not fearful of it. We have to go into the world. I work with unsaved people sometimes. All of us do. We're not fearful of those things. And it's not like we're hiding in a room somewhere. But at the same time, we don't choose to live that lifestyle. We choose to stay away from it. It's two different things. Amen? And it's important. It's important to understand that, because sin has a desire. It wants to slap chains on you. Amen? And once that happens, then it takes some things in the Word, some things of prayer, some things of God doing in your life to break those things off of you. I mean, sometimes people get over in that and they never get out. They just stay in that circle of bondage. Amen. God help us. Amen. That's not God's best for us. Amen. Especially for His people. And if you would turn to Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 13. I'll tell you exactly where to go here in just a second. There is a connection, and I said this a while ago about growing in the Word. There's a connection with walking in God's Word and being able to walk in freedom. Now, we see some teachings that Jesus gave on that, and I'll show you that here in just a second. One of the things I always say at our church is that it's so important to grow in the Word. If you're going to exercise any bit of victory at all in your life, or any authority, spiritual authority, it's going to be directly related to how much of the Word that you're growing in. Amen. You got to be a person of the Word. Not just hearing it, but there is something about receiving revelation of the truth of God's Word. It's spiritual dynamite. I mean, it's spiritual superfood. That's a better word for it. Amen. And to get into the Word and to grow in God's Word allows you to be able to exercise authority over the things that are constantly trying to bring you down. Amen. Do you know that sickness is also one of those things that like to put people in bondage? Sickness is not of God. It's an enemy. We all have to deal with it. We all have to fight it. But it's an enemy, and it loves to put its bondage on people, doesn't it? Amen. If I was to ask a show of hands, every one of us, I'm sure, could raise their hand and say they know someone, not just sick a little bit, that is very sick, and without a touch from God, they're either going to die or struggle the rest of their life because of sickness. Amen. I know many people that way. Amen. That I tell you what, they need a real touch from God. Amen. That is the curse putting the bondage of sickness on people's life. Amen. And it's not of God. It's of the curse. Amen. We'll look at that here in a minute. Now it's the Word of God, though, that allows us to exercise dominion over those things. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the second verse, you can turn there if you like, it says, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, or starts out saying, like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Amen. Let's turn there and we'll look at that. First Peter chapter 2. Verse 2, it says, like newborn babes, long or desire for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Amen. So to desire the Word and begin to get into the Word to grow in respect to salvation, as you grow spiritually, the greater authority you have to exercise dominion over all those things. Amen. It's kind of like, you know, as children of God, you automatically, the moment you get saved, you step into an authority that's not your own. It's God-given. Amen? We all understand that. You have an authority because you're a child of God now. Amen? How many of you would say and know, agree, that God is all authority? Amen? Well, several times in Scripture, it says that God has placed all authority under Jesus' feet. He's the head over all things to the church, and every name that is named, it says, has to bow. Every knee has to bow. Every name has to understand that there is no name higher than Jesus. All authority is under Him because God has placed it as such. Amen. Well, that authority is what's now been bestowed upon you when you get saved. You have the same authority. Amen. Now, think of it like a parent. You know, parents have authority that's really God-given, whether they're saved or unsaved. That child has been given to that parent, and the Bible says that kids are a gift from God. It says, blessed is the man who has his quiver full. Amen. It says they're a gift from the Lord. And so they are God-given. They're placed under your care. And from God, a parent has authority bestowed upon them to, through the power of God, that authority given, to raise that child up to be a person of God. It comes straight. Are you his dad?
Yes.
So it comes straight from the father and the mother, and that authority has been placed by God upon them. And then through that power, through that authority, they raise up these kids to be equipped in God. It's God-given. Amen. Now, even though that authority is God-given, it's another thing altogether to walk in it. Amen. Because we all know certain households maybe where the kids run the house maybe, not the parents. Amen. And the parent has the same authority as maybe another household where the parents are in control. They've got it, you know, things right. Those kids obey. Those kids mind. Well, they don't have any more authority than the other one. It's all God-given. It's just that you have one set of parents or parent that walks in it and another set over here that doesn't walk in it. They don't exercise that authority for whatever reason. It's the same authority, not one greater than the other. It's just the ability to walk in it and exercise that dominion over what's been God-given. Amen? Well, the Word of God, growing in the Word of God, is what allows you to exercise authority. As you grow in God's Word, you grow in authority. It's given by God, but to grow in it and walk in it is another thing altogether. Amen? To be able to stand up and speak over your family and say, you know what, that's not going to happen in my home. In Jesus' name, and take authority over those things because God's placed that upon you, and you know He has. But it takes the Word of God in you producing that strength and power to cause you to stand up and to take that authority. Kick the devil out. Amen? Because the devil, he'll do just like this. He'll come in. He'll do just like this. He'll knock. He'll look in like this. You know? And if you open the door, he'll come in. And you may try to close the door, and he'll stick his foot in there. Like that. And if you let him in, he'll come in, sit down, raid the fridge. Pretty soon, he's got the remote. He's taking control of the TV. He'll just take control if you let him in. Amen. But at some point, you stand up and say, no, not in my house. We're people of the Word here. Amen. And you kick that thing out and you say, it's not going to happen here. And you do the same thing with sickness. Not that sickness doesn't come, but you don't let sickness come in and just fall down and say, oh, sickness is here. No, you stand up and you pray and you believe God and you exercise faith and you begin to speak the Word and you don't take it laying down. Amen. You stand up and you begin to speak the sickness. No, not here. Yeah, you may feel sick. But you still stand on the Word. That's walking in faith. That's walking in the Word. Amen. And the next time, every time you do that, you get stronger. Amen. Every time you do it, you get stronger and stronger. Pretty soon, it doesn't take that long to kick sickness out of the door. Amen. Because sickness loves to put its bondage on people. That's what it does. It's not of God. Amen. But it takes growing in the Word. Remember, Jesus taught in John chapter 8. We won't turn there for time's sake. But in John chapter 8, and everyone knows this verse, Jesus was teaching and he said, you will know the truth in what? The truth will make you free or set you free, depending on what version you have. Both translated both ways. Both correct. Amen. You will know the truth in what makes you free. Knowing the truth. Amen. So you know the truth. Where does truth come from? You don't have to answer that. Just think about it. Where does truth come from? It comes from one place. Well, we use truth a lot in different conversations. Not that it's wrong. But real truth is a spiritual issue. Well, it comes from God. Amen. Truth comes from God. And truth is found in God's Word. Remember, Jesus prayed. He said, thy Word is true. Amen. Well, what is very powerful, what causes you to grow and have a very healthy, strong spirit, man, is to receive revelation of truth from God's Word. Yeah. Amen. You get in there, and you're not just reading. Listen, we've all read. I'm not just talking about now, but you got to read to get it in there, right? But sometimes we read, and it just doesn't do any good. Amen. And I've had people tell me, Pastor, I don't read the Bible much. I just don't understand. I just don't get it. Well, what's happened is you've told yourself that. You've trained yourself not to receive the Word. But your spirit, man, is starving for it. What you have to do is get past this up here. It's this that's the problem. It's not your spirit. Your spirit is starved for the sincere milk of the Word so it can grow. Amen? And sometimes we read it and we say, oh, I don't understand the Word. I'm going to go over here and listen to some preaching. Well, that you need to hear preaching too, so that it can be expounded upon. But if you can't get it from the Word, you're probably going to get very little of it through preaching. Yeah. And because it's an issue up here. You have to get by this and begin reading it and reading it and say, what does that say again? And begin to pray, ask the Holy Spirit to show it to you. And the thing is the Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth, and He's waiting to show you revelation from God's Word. And it's that understanding of truth that begins to make you free. Amen. I say this a lot at our church, but faith begins when you know God's will. You know, we all know that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, right? We know that in Romans. So that's chapter 10. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now Holdenville guys don't answer this. And everybody, you can just think about it. You have to answer. But why does faith come by hearing the Word? Why is that? Just think about it. You don't have to answer. Just let the gear start turning a little bit. Amen? Why does faith come by hearing the Word? Well, The word of God is also God's will, is it not? I mean, this is his will. Amen. In Isaiah 55, it's good teaching there that we have in that, where it talks about God's word that comes out of his mouth. It's like it gives the example of the rain that comes down and waters the earth, the snow that comes down and waters the earth. And that statement's made that, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it accomplishes that which I please and prospers in the thing whereunto I send it. Amen. And so God's word's going forth out of his mouth, and it says that it accomplishes what he pleases. It accomplishes what he pleases. Well, if something is accomplishing what God pleases, what is that? It's his will, right? His will is being accomplished. Well, this is his will. Now, I'm talking about why does faith come by hearing the word of God. When you know God's will, faith can begin right there. Because now you know what God wants. And if you don't know what God wants, then you don't, there's no faith there. It's just hope or something. You're just like, well, I don't know. It's like we used to pray. When we used to pray back in the old days for someone to get healed, we'd pray for someone, and we didn't know the word a lot of times back then, whenever I was younger, and just was taught certain things and thought that healing was just a shot in the dark. I mean, it's just up in the air. We didn't know if it's God's will to heal or not. We just hoped it was. And so we'd pray for somebody and we'd, oh, if it's your will, Lord. Oh, if it's your will, heal them, Lord. And then didn't get healed. It's like, well, I guess it wasn't God's will. Yeah. Amen. So it wasn't our fault. It must have been God, not have been God's will. And then we looked at him and said, well, brother, God's trying to teach you something. Trying to teach you something, right? You ever heard that? Well, it's because that we prayed that way because we didn't know God's will. So there's no faith in that prayer. And when you read 1 John, it talks about confidence in God. When your heart doesn't condemn you, it says you have confidence in God, and we know we have the things we ask of. Amen? And so when you have confidence in God, you know you have the things that you ask from him. Amen? What is that? That's faith, because you believe what God says. But if you don't know what God says, then you don't know his will, and you can have no faith. Right? And so you pray for someone, and oh, that you will. But if you know it's God's will to heal, it completely changes everything, right? And your faith can begin right there. Now you're like, ah, he does want to heal me. Now I've got faith. May not be the biggest in the world at that moment, but it begins right there because I know what God wants. Amen? Absolutely. Now it becomes a testimony, right? Amen. Amen. Hold your finger on Luke, because I mentioned this. Let me turn somewhere. Oh, we're going right to Luke here in just a second. But let me mention that story. And I teach this a lot at our church. But let me show you an example of this, because I kind of got on that track here about knowing God's will. In Matthew chapter 8, there's the story of the leper. And let me put my glasses on so I can see here. I think I'm good here. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, it says, behold, a leper came to him and bowed to him, saying, now listen to this, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing, right? If you're willing, you can. And so, what is this statement? It's, I know that you can, right? Now, everybody here knows God can do anything, right? That's never an issue. It's never an issue. It's, well, I think God can't do it. God can't heal me. It's just, I tell you, this sickness, this cold's too big for God even. No, we don't believe that. We know God can do anything, right? I mean, if he can save us, he can do anything, right? So that's not the issue. What's the issue? Will he do it? That's the same as this guy. It's always will. So there's always that question, is it God's will? So we get back to faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, because when you know God's will, you've heard his word, then you know his will, now you have faith. The same way with that leper. And Jesus looked at it. It's interesting that Jesus answered his question. He didn't just heal him. He answered his question. He said, I am willing. Then he healed him. So he's answering the guy's question. Yes, it's my will to heal you. It's my will. Amen? And when you know that, you know what the Word of God says concerning healing, concerning freedom, concerning bondage, all of those things. Now you can have some faith. Now you can begin to grow that. Now you can begin to get into the Word even more and exercise authority over that. Your faith begins to grow. You begin to grow spiritually, and it begins because you found out what He said. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You found what the truth is. Amen. Opens up a whole new road. And you find out, well, God wants me healed. He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live into righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Amen. We read that, we're like, ah, and the light comes on, right? Now you're like, now what do I need to do to get that? Now you begin to seek and grow in the Word. Now your faith begins to grow. Now those things that put you in bondage before, those things don't have near the power to pull you back down. Amen. That's how you walk in freedom, is growing in the Word. Amen. Now turn back to Luke. Back early on when I was young, we were raised in church. I was saved when I was 4 years old. And so we were raised in church, but We didn't understand the Word. My parents didn't know the Word at that time. And so we had a lot of defeat, just a lot of bondage in our house, a lot of sickness. And, you know, at that time, you know, we just thought the Word was something you read to learn about God. You know, you read the Word, it's a good thing to read the Bible, you know. Learn about God, you know, learn the old stories, learn about David and Goliath, and all that's good. But we didn't understand that the Word of God was an extension of God's power for you. And that it was spiritual, not only spiritual food, that's one of the examples. It's mentioned as spiritual food, but it's also, Jesus taught in the parable of the sower, that it's also seed. And that's the greatest, that's really the greatest way that the Word speaks of itself, is as a seed. Even Jesus was the Word made flesh. Well, He was the seed of Abraham. Amen. He was the Word that was spoken, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Well, we didn't understand about that back then. And so we just thought, well, you read the Word and find out a little bit about God and make sure that you don't steal, lie, cheat, and all those things. We didn't realize that as you read this and you begin to understand God's will, you begin to walk in faith, that it's something on the inside of you that begins to produce in and of itself. It begins to make you strong. Amen? Because this is the Word that God has spoken, and now it's fallen down on the inside of you, and it has the same creative power as when God said, be light, and light was. Amen? Now it's on the inside of you trying to produce the same thing. What's it trying to produce? God's will. Whatever it is. I mean, God's will all through here. Healing, freedom, blessing, all of that's God's will. And it falls down on the inside of you. Now it's trying to produce it with all that it can, trying to produce God's will. Amen. Victory and blessing. Amen. Praise God. Now, have you had a chance to turn to Luke yet? See, Luke chapter 13 is where we want to go. I think I said 14, but it's chapter 13 where we want to go. Now, here's an interesting story here we're going to look at, and we'll start in verse 10 there, that talks about a woman that needed some freedom. And we'll read this, and then we'll talk about it. In verse 10, it says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all." That's a long time, right? Well, some good insight we have in this story, because we see here that this was directly caused by a spirit of infirmity. Sometimes things are just directly caused by that. Doesn't mean that person's demon-possessed, just means that there's a spirit there causing that. The spirits are out there. They're not just in the movies. They're out there, and they're trying to produce the curse. Ultimately, all sickness is from the devil anyway. So whether it's sickness in the form of just being from the curse, or whether it's from a demon, doesn't matter. It's still bad. Amen. Not like one person has a sickness. Well, mine's worse than yours because it's caused straight from a demon. Well, no, it's all bad, right? God That's not God's will. 18 years she had this. And Jesus saw her. He said, "Woman, you need to go like that a few more years. I'm trying to teach you something." No, he said, he called her over and he said, "Woman, you're freed from your sickness." Man, praise God. He laid his hands on her and immediately she was made erect and again, made erect again and began glorifying God. Now, the synagogue official was indignant, verse 14, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he began saying to the multitude in response, "There are 6 days in which to work. Work should be done. Therefore, come during them and get healed, not on the Sabbath day." Now, it's interesting that this synagogue official probably saw this lady for 18 years doing it his way and nothing worked, right? And he's mad because Jesus is healing on the Sabbath day, but his way sure didn't work. It's interesting that legalism and all of that trying to work to get something, it never works anyway. She was sick for 18 years doing that. Amen? But Jesus goes on to answer, and in his answer, we get some real insight about healing and about God's stand on it. So he goes on and he says, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him?" He's asking a question. "And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years." In the New King James Version, it says that Jesus says, "Think about it. Think about it. For 18 years, this woman was bound. She's a daughter of Abraham." And in other words, what he's saying is she has the right to be healed. She's got the right to be healed. She's a daughter of Abraham. And in the New King James, it says, "Think about it. Use your head and think about it. If you'll just realize that this comes from the enemy, it's not from God, she has the right to be healed." And listen to how Jesus says. He said, "Should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day?" He's saying, yes, that's God's will. She should be released. Amen? He's trying to teach them that it wasn't from God. Satan's the one that did it. And this woman had every right to be released. Did she have the right because she deserved it? No. She didn't deserve it, just like you don't deserve it. You know, sometimes we get those things mixed up. It's the fallen state of man to think that you have to work for everything. That's works. Whenever man sinned, one of the things that God spoke over them, and he wasn't speaking a curse, he was just telling them, this is what the curse is. He said, now you're going to have to go toil. Before that, man was walking in God's blessing. Remember, God spoke a blessing. Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth or fill the earth. In other words, that be fruitful and multiply was that everything they put their hands to would multiply and be blessed. And God, he wasn't telling that to go do it. He was saying, be fruitful, multiply. Just like when he said, light be light. And light was. Be fruitful, multiply. He was speaking a creative proclamation over them. And so from that point, they just walked in God's blessing. Everything they put their hands to was fruitful. Amen. Everything they did multiplied. Amen. If they had $1, it multiplied into thousands. Amen. They didn't have dollars back then, but you understand, right? Everything they did multiplied in a good way. Amen. Well, after that, God said, now listen, it's different now because of sin. Now you're going to have to toil. I mean, he mentions about the sweat of their brow, you're going to work the earth. Amen. And they had to toil for their blessing. And so because of the fall, that's the mentality of man. And even under the Old Testament, in trying to keep the law, it still produced that in man that I have to work to please God. I have to keep the commandments to please God. I have to do this to earn my salvation. And it still is hard for us to get away from it today. We still feel like we don't deserve healing, so we have to, you know, do this and do that. I've got to go pray for 10 other people before I get healed. Well, it's good to go pray for people, but you can get healed just because it's a gift from God. You don't have to earn it. Well, if I go pray for this 10 people, then maybe God will heal me. No, it's not the way it works. You can't earn healing anyway. You can pray for 10,000 people. You're not going to earn healing. You don't deserve it. It's a gift. Amen? It's a gift. Now, you should pray for a bunch of people. That's just because you should do that. But that doesn't earn healing. If you're trying to do it that way, you'll never get it. Or you'll struggle getting it. Healing is a gift. You do not deserve it. You have it simply because God loves you and He promised it to you. He promised it to you. That's the only reason you get it. He promised it to you and it's part of your inheritance. When you became, you were pulled out of this curse, out of darkness into light, to the kingdom of the Son of His love and became a son and daughter. Now everything that's His is now yours. The Bible even says you're joint heirs with Jesus, right? Because you're a child. God doesn't love Jesus any more than He loves you. Do you know that? It's going to strike me dead. No. God doesn't love Jesus any more than He loves you. If God loved Jesus more than He loved you, then that would be a horrible dad, because His adopted children He wouldn't love as much as these other. And that's a horrible way to be a parent. And the Bible says that God's a much better parent than we are. Right? So God loves you just as much as He loves Jesus. You're His child, brought in by the precious blood of His only begotten. And now you belong to Him. And so healing is yours by inheritance. So if you're trying to get it because you deserve it, you don't deserve it. It's kind of like, but you do have the right to it. And that's two different things. It's kind of like somebody receiving an inheritance. Let's just say you knew some rowdy kid that had rich parents. Anybody know any kids that got rich parents? And you're thinking, man, that kid's got everything given to him. And he's rowdy and he's no good, probably amount to nothing. And his parents leave everything to him. Now we could all say he doesn't deserve that. He didn't do one thing to help earn that inheritance. And that may be true. But he has every right to it because his parents left it to him. And there's no court in the world that's going to take it away from him because it was given to him. Amen? Listen. Yeah, the same thing. God has given it to you. It's your right to be blessed. Not because you deserve it, but because He loves you. Amen? Now, Jesus is saying that concerning this woman. Amen? Now, in her case, it was sickness that brought this bondage upon her. Amen? But Jesus said, no, she's got the right to be free. Amen? And I'm telling you today, you have the right to be free from every form of bondage that the enemy would try to put on you. Even if you try to put it on yourself, still ultimately it's from the enemy. Amen? And you have the right to exercise authority over that. Well, Pastor, I'm struggling with certain habits. You have authority over that. You really do. Now, it may not come overnight. If God gives you a miracle, praise God for it. But you have authority over your body, and you just have to retrain yourself. You know, you can. I live on a farm. I've got cows, chickens, sheep, and a horse. You can train anything. You can train a chicken to walk up them stairs and fly off every morning at 10 o'clock if you want to. It's amazing how you can train animals. Well, you can train yourself the same way. And what's happened is you've trained yourself in that habit, and then it has become a bondage. What you're overcome by, you're also brought into bondage by, what Peter said. And so you allow that to overcome you, then you're just brought into bondage by it. But you can get out of that by retraining yourself through the Word. The Word's more powerful anyway. So you begin to get in the Word, and then you exercise that authority that you have. Amen? You exercise it through speaking it. Now you're preaching, blab it, grab it. Well, I'm preaching, speaking the Word the same way God does. Amen? God speaks it. So shall this Word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, is what God says. Well, in chapter 10 of Romans, all through there it teaches about you speak in the Word. You speak in the Word. The Word of salvation, it's called. The Word of the gospel, it's called. You confess with your mouth. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth. You shall be saved. Amen? And so there is a speaking that is the release of what God's Word is anyway. It's called His Word. And so you speak the Word over your life. You speak it over your family. You speak it over your body. I do it myself all the time. Sometimes I start acting maybe the way I shouldn't or something. I just say, now, Jamie, settle down there. Settle down now. What does the Word say? And I'll speak the Word to myself. You know what? You feel the authority over it. Yeah. Amen. I can remember one time. I remember one time I was working. What time is it? How much time do I have? 11:56. Okay, 4 minutes here. And so I remember one time I was working, rolling up barbed wire, and old rusty barbed wire, and cut myself real bad. Well, immediately I heard the word of fear right up here in my head. You know, fear is bondage, isn't it? And so I heard that word, and it said, you're gonna get sick over that, because it was a pretty bad cut. And I just immediately heard that that's going to cause you infection. It's going to be bad. Well, I didn't, you know, I mean, you learn just to shrug the devil off, you know. So I just shrugged it off. Went on there about a couple of days. Well, about a couple of days later, my thumb was about as big as my foot. It was up there all red, looked horrible. And I just heard the Lord say, how long are you going to put up with that? You know, you better go take care of that. So I remember, you know, I've got several. At that time, I had all my kids at home. So I've got 5 kids, and 2 of them are out of the house now. And thank you, Steve. But, not for both of them, but for one of them. Well, actually, the other one lives with them too. So actually for both of them. So anyway, you don't have a lot of privacy sometimes. And so I remember going in the bathroom. So I went in the bathroom, brought my Bible in there, laid my Bible down there, and I just pulled out scripture there. I can't remember what scripture it was. And several in there that you read. Now, this is your authority here. So you just refer to this. I remember, I think it might have been Mark 11:23. Speak to the mountain, be thou removed, be cast in the sea. And so I pulled that out and I read that. And so I got my hand up there and I said, okay, listen, thumb. You listen. You're healed in Jesus' name. Then I turned over and read 1 Peter 2:24 and I said, you're healed. And I rebuke that infection in the name of Jesus. I command it to leave. And I remember just having my Bible and just laying my hand like this and just speaking the authority that it comes from God. It's ours, right? And so I just spoke that over my thumb. Well, listen, it has to obey. I have any choice. And you speak it with faith. Do you know it was, but by the end of the day, my thumb was down just as normal as the other. By the next day, you couldn't even tell it. There's just a little bitty cut there, and you wouldn't even know it had gotten hurt. Well, what was it? It was just healing. And it belonged to me because God gave it to me. But see, I could have gave into it and allowed sickness to put me in bondage. But instead, I decided, you know what? I don't have to put up with that. I'm going to exercise authority over it. Amen. And just take a moment sometimes. Take a moment, get the word out, and speak to those things and let it know. There's a new sheriff in town, right? It's not sickness. It's not the schemes of the enemy. Amen. God has given us authority over those things, but it takes us growing. And sometimes it just takes the light coming on. And you all of a sudden you found out His will, and then you're like, all right. I see how it is. I've been taking stuff I shouldn't have to take. Now you begin to exercise authority. Amen? Yeah, amen. The interesting thing about, do I have 30 seconds left? In Mark chapter 11 there, where it talks about speaking to the mountain there, for some reason, sometimes that gets a lot of controversy. There, but we know that story comes from Jesus cursing the fig tree, and His disciples saw it, and so on and so forth, that whole story. And eventually it got back to where Peter said, lo, the fig tree you cursed is withered away. And so Jesus is going to teach them about this, right? And so you see it. That's when you pick it up there in Mark chapter 24, or Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Excuse me, 23. And Jesus gets them all together because they've seen what He did just by speaking of the tree. And He tells them, guys, don't do this at home. I'm Jesus. I'm the Son of God. I'm Jesus. And He says, don't be speaking to stuff because they're going to call you blab it, grab it. They're going to call you name it, claim it. So don't do that. You can't do that anyway. Is that what He said? No. No, He said, here's what He said. Truly, so I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. Truly, I say to you, whoever
Whoever says to the mountain. Is that what it says? Yes. Whoever. He didn't tell them, guys, I'm Jesus. I can do this. You can't. It says, whoever, guys, can do what I just did. Whoever. Say to the mountain. Now, remember how Jesus spoke creatively over them? He said, be fruitful, multiply. Amen. Here, you're saying to the mountain, be taken up. Be cast in the sea. And it says, if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say is going to happen, be granted. We'll have to obey. Amen. That's the authority that we have. Amen. And listen, God is speaking to His people to grow in the Word because God's people need to be walking in that. Amen. We've taken for too long. Amen. Sickness and the things of the curse have tried to take over our towns. They've tried to take over our families and our churches. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's time that we stand up and say, I've taken enough. Start walking the authority God's given. Amen. I'm not going to put up with that stuff. Amen. It may be some of you here that you have family members. Amen. That aren't serving God. You've been believing God for them. We'll begin to speak over their life. You're going to serve God. God has promised me my family. And begin to speak over them. Instead of start talking about, oh, they're no good. I don't know how. Man, I'll be lucky if I ever get to heaven. I'll tell you what. You know? You start speaking. Father, I thank you that they're going to serve you. I'm not going to settle for anything less. They're going to serve you. They're going to come to you. I speak that over them in the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, I call them in. You know, Isaiah 55, we quoted from Isaiah 55 a while ago. There is a call that goes out. It starts out by saying, ho, or come, and it's an exclamation mark behind it. Some versions say come, some say ho. It means to come. And God is calling out. He's saying, come. He's calling them in. He says, come buy what you can't, come get what you can't get with money. Amen? That's a good one to pray and speak over your family. I speak that over my kids. I speak that over my family, over my parents, whatever the case may be. Amen? Not going to allow that bondage of sin to hold on to them any longer. Amen. Praise God. Do you love Him today? Amen. Well, Father, we love You. You're a good God.